All right, we're at Welcome to First Class, the church, your time and talents and Holy Spirit. So just pulling all these together in one lesson. First, we're going to do is look at our articles of faith and our covenant. Article number 4 says that we believe it's the responsibility of the church to see to this equipping process or this God-given sovereign gift that you've received. See, God is sovereign in the bestowal of spiritual gifts to every believer, that He brings you into our assembly with the gifting that you have in order that we all collectively can do the work of the ministry. That's the objective. The recognition that all of us in this room and outside the room have something to offer to the body of Christ. We don't need any more oxygen thieves in the body of Christ. That's the idea. Everybody's got something to contribute. Everybody's got something to contribute. I want to define spiritual gift. It's a phrase regularly used to translate two Greek words. The plural forms of the word pull together and become this. Both words are almost exclusively Pauline, so they're in Paul's 13 epistles. Peter also uses them in 1 Peter 2:5 and 4:10. Other writers, of course, mention this idea of having a spiritual gift, but don't use the specific word. So that's what we want to get into today, is what does the church mean by spiritual gifts? In our covenant, we are promising to give faithfully of our time and our talents. Now, all of you can give of your time in varying degrees based on what's going on in your life. You can't give of your time to church when you're deployed. You probably can't give much of your time to the church when you're in the middle of the Q course. That's just the reality. Some of you go through military training that's 18 hours a day, and you're not going to be able to give much. But other times, when you have four-day weekends, when you have windows of time, when you have a day off, then you come and you give to the church. That's the idea. And then talents, we will unpack talents in a few minutes. Baptists believe in the Holy Spirit, and Baptists believe that you get spiritual gifts. Sometimes, because Baptists are anti-tongues, so to speak, that gives the impression that we don't believe in the Holy Spirit, or we don't believe that you get spiritual gifts. That is not the case. We believe that God has given every one of you at your moment of salvation spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts that you are to use in the local church. A spiritual gift is an ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be what? Ignorant." So we need to be informed on what spiritual gifts are. We need to be aware of this. Romans 1:11, Paul writes again, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." I want to bring to your attention the spiritual gift that you have within you. 1 Corinthians 14:26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." So the point here is that the spiritual gift that God has given to you is not to be used for your own glory. One of the reasons why we're kind of strict on this, and it's kind of different, we don't allow anyone to sing in front of the church who isn't part of the choir. Because we're not here for you to entertain us. We're not here for you to show off your gifting so that we can all see, wow, what aren't they beautiful? If you're not interested in being part of the choir, that is a ministry serving, then the idea of showing up, singing your little special... Hey, I've seen it in the churches, and you have too, right? And then everyone claps, and you love it, you suck it up, ego gets big as can be, and then you go off until your next opportunity to show off. No, that's not ministry. That's not edifying. That's not corporately being part of it. Does that make sense? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:12, "Even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." So this spiritual gift that God has given you is not about you. It's not about your pride. It's not about making yourself look good in front of the church. It's not about exalting who you are. It's about using it to the local church. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. "And God," that's the He, "gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers..." For the what? For the perfecting, or for the maturing, or for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you see how much emphasis is on this word edifying? It's not about us individually. It's not about us showing ourselves off. It's about being in a local church and connected in that church, serving others in the church. So let's look at Romans 12 together, and everyone turn to Romans 12, and let's look at the text that first deals with spiritual gifts. Romans 12, please. Verses 12, chapter 12, 3 through 8. Nick, could I get you to read the text?
I'm getting drunk, so you hadn't been there yet. Sorry.
Actually, I was talking about...
Oh, the one in front of me.
Yes. Yeah. The one that had his Bible open and was ready to read.
Sorry.
3:8?
Yes, sir. Nice and loud, please.
But through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
So here's a passage that Paul just throws out some gifts. It's not a comprehensive list. I'll show that to you in a minute. But obviously, he's giving us this illustration here. And we can figure this out pretty clearly. Okay? The church is a body. The church is a body. And we are the body. Okay? We individually, bodies, we comprise the body. We make up the fingers, we make up the thumb, we make up the heart, we make up the arms, we, all of us. Not the pastors, not the clergy, not the exalted ones, none of that nonsense. All of us collectively make up the church. And the objective is for you to figure out, where do I fit on this body? Based on what? The gifting that God has given you. That we're not complete if you're not giving back to the church, that we're less. We're amputee. We're walking around with one leg because a portion of the body of Christ is not working. We walk around with one less hand because a portion of the body of Christ is not working. We're not as effective. You try to do something without something. Even this. Take this away and then do stuff throughout the day and see how much more difficult it'll be. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Something that small. Something, quote, insignificant. Or eliminate one ear and see how your hearing is going to be for the day. What is the point of the matter? Or one eye, and see how that works out for you for the day. The church needs who? Everyone. Everyone. And he's very clear here. He's very clear. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to the preachers that are among you, not to the deacons that are among you, not to the talented ones that are among you, not to the teachers, every human being, every male and female, every single person, among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, appropriately, maturely, according to as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. So the gifting that I get comes from God. The measure of faith comes from God. As we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Everyone isn't a teacher. Everyone isn't a preacher. Everyone isn't a nursery worker. Everyone isn't a musician. We all have different gifting throughout that we are to what? Use. That's the point of the text, very clearly. So this chart is a breakdown of all the passages that deal with spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, forward. Ephesians 4, 1, forward. Romans 12, which we just read. 1 Peter 4, 11, two gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, wisdom and faith. And you can use this chart to see the various gifting that God has given to the church. And the fact of the matter is, there may be more gifts than what is listed here. No passage is designed to produce a comprehensive listing. It's all a series of words to help us understand the way God has equipped all of us in this room to do the work of the ministry. Yes.
Why did administration and leadership have stars next to me?
Oh, because it's a possibility it's the same gift. Oh,
okay.
It's a possibility that it is the same gift, that just different Greek words to describe the same thing. Because it's difficult to imagine being a good leader if you can't administer anything. It's difficult to imagine being a good administrator if you can't lead. Good. So that's the idea. So obvious question for you to be thinking about is, what gifting do I have? How has God gifted me? 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "But all these work with one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will." So you've been given gifts. The ESV renders it, "who apportions to each one individually as he will." So at your moment of conversion, God gave you a gift. You don't even realize it. You have a gift inside you that needs to come out. God gave it to you at your moment of salvation. So here's a discussion question. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Has anyone done a spiritual gifting survey? Has anyone had the church confirm you definitely have a gifting in that area? Does anyone have a sense of some of the gifts that you may have? All right, let's hear some. Throw out one gifting that you believe that you have. Karen?
Hospitality.
Hospitality, very good. Excellent. Anyone else? Anyone else have a gifting that...
Exhortation,
okay. All right, anyone else have a gifting? Anyone else?
Serving hospitality.
You probably have a gifting of teaching as well if you're working with children and speaking in that. Who else? Teaching. Who else? Who else has spiritual giftings? Jason has the gifting of administration, whether he wants to realize it or not. There's no doubt that God's given you that gifting. Right?
Sure.
It's not as though it's something like we have to be careful. Oh, I don't want to say I can do anything. No, the fact of the matter is God gave you something. Okay? My gifting is teaching, exhortation, or being rude or harsh or encouraging, whatever your perception is. It depends on you know, whether you're on the receiving end of it or not, you know. And then administration. You have gifting. It's important for you to figure it out. You don't want to go through your whole life not knowing what your spiritual gifts are and not using them to the glory of God. So it's critical that you work on that. In the covenant, we use the word talent for both natural abilities and spiritual gifts. We're pulling the two ideas together. So let's go over natural abilities around here. Who's got musical natural abilities? Musical natural abilities. Throw your hand up. Yes. 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 Okay. Musical natural abilities. Okay? You are to be using them. Okay? You are to be using them. Other natural abilities. Who's got other natural abilities? They're there, so let's go. Go ahead and share them. It doesn't hurt.
Singing.
What else? Who else has got natural abilities? Anybody do any tile work, carpentry, any of that kind of stuff? Any? Okay? Right. All the ceramic tile that you walk on is all done by volunteer labor. All of the ceramic tile. There was no ceramic tile a few years ago. It's all been done. Think about the thousands of dollars the church saved through somebody using their talents, that kind of a talent. What other talents are in this room?
Landscaping,
right. It's an awesome talent to be able to look at that and figure out high, low, different colors, all that.
What about a baseball umpire?
Sure, that can be a talent. Sure, and it can be used in upward, things like that. Yep. Who else has got a talent? Cooking, baking. These are giftings. Shouldn't shy away from this. The goal is to figure out, how can I use what God's given me in the body of Christ? All right, long paragraph. It has been said that spiritual gifts must not be confused with natural talents, and surely we must agree. But we must also insist that spiritual gifts are not to be divorced from natural talents and abilities. In Psalm 139, we are reminded that it was God who fashioned us in the womb. Now, I'm going to jump into the deep end of the pool, but God, fully knowing that He was going to save you at whatever point He chose to save you, fully knowing that He was going to give you spiritual gifts, links the natural abilities that you have with the spiritual gifts that you have.
Yeah.
But knowing that He's going to save you, knowing that He's going to redeem you, knowing that He has a place for you in the kingdom of God, He equips you even when you're in your mother's womb with DNA and abilities and all this. And then at your moment of conversion, further gifts you. You say, can you prove this? Only from the Word of God. There's no DNA sample that you can find to pull a spiritual gift. Just what Paul teaches us. Pulling those two together. In Psalms 139, we are reminded it was God who fashioned us in the womb. Whatever our capabilities or weaknesses, they were given to us by the omniscient God who designed us not only in the matter of spiritual gifts, but also in the matter of talents, abilities to carry out a certain task. Human abilities alone will never produce eternal fruits, but our abilities, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, can bring about spiritual fruit. It is no accident that Billy Graham is a gifted speaker in the human sense, but there are countless gifted speakers who have never seen a soul won to Christ. So your goal is to figure out how to take my natural talents and abilities and use them to the kingdom of God, to the glory of God. Why? Why is that so important? Because every one of us individually will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and account for the life you live. You will not do it as a husband and wife. You will do it individually. For yourself. So, if you spend your entire life not using your gifting for the kingdom of God, you will regret it.
Pastor?
Sir?
As you know, I deal with probationers and parolees every day. And I try to develop a rapport with them to then get them to move up to their level, well, my level of expectation for them. But not only that, for them to be within their, what do I want to say, their ability and to make it to the next level in their life and their full potential.
Right.
Be, know, and do.
Right, okay.
I think that that's what God expects us to do, is to live up to our potential that we have, that he knows we have.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. I would say to you that if you're not living up to your potential, you're in sin.
I remember when I was in my 20s and I pastored at a service, and I had four little kids at the time, and he said, if there's anybody that wants to be used by God, you need to come up here and pray for you. And I remember going up thinking, Lord, I know I want to be used with you, but I don't have a thing to give. Write a book on what God has done in my life since I said that prayer.
Amen.
And it isn't until you, like, you don't even know he's doing it.
Right. Very true. Yeah, you got to commit your ways unto the Lord. No doubt about it. So a gift is a notable capacity, a talent, or an endowment. And so we believe that this notable capacity comes from God. It's not from within you. It's a gift from God. We believe that God empowers you both at birth and rebirth, at your physical birth and your spiritual birth, both. And I would tell you that I believe the person of Christ is the perfect example of the reconciliation of natural abilities and spiritual abilities, the God-man. All God, all spirits, you know, pulled together, all man, all God, pulled together. You have natural abilities within you. You have spiritual gifting within you. Pull them together and use them to the glory of God. Pull them together and use them to the glory of God. So these are the natural abilities that we could always use help around here in. And there are others. I could have just packed the thing with it. Sound work, we can always use sound. Anything with music. Teaching, we can always use assistant teachers. Tile work, construction work, anything like that. Painting, drama, finished carpentry, anything with computers. We've got four or five men in the church that work out in Fort Bragg and have given us an incredible network that a church our size would not otherwise have if it wasn't for these guys that just come in and volunteered hundreds of hours, servers and all kinds of stuff that a church our size would, I mean, we have a tremendous network with 150 computers on the campus. And a typical church our size would never have anything close to that, but because of the volunteer labor of so many men. Mechanics, buses always need work, accounting work, anything like that. So these are natural abilities. best way to discover whether you have a natural musical ability is to try to learn how to play an instrument. Likewise, the best way to see what spiritual gift God has given you is to start serving in that local church. In time, God and his people will make it clear what your gifts are and are not. They'll make it clear. If nobody is affirming to you that that was a great lesson, then you probably don't have the gifting of teaching. And that's fine. Just get out of there and go find something else. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the reality. God uses his people to confirm that. Okay? You don't keep working in an area that you're not gifted in. You try another area of ministry. Try another area of ministry. To give carefully of your time. Sometimes our service to the church has nothing to do with our talents. Lots of things are needed to be done in the church that do not require a spiritual gift. Example, diapers need to be changed. You do not need a spiritual gift to change diapers. Okay? There's no spiritual gift needed. Nor do you say, oh, gosh, I'd serve in that area if I had a spiritual gifting, but I don't have the gifting, sorry. No, you just get in there and pull that nasty thing off, get out of that, and wipe it down, slap another one on. Right? That's it. Yeah, I know, I see that. It's nasty. But it's necessary. Yeah, it's the reality. It's the truth. You don't have to have a spiritual gift to set up tables. You don't have to have a spiritual gift to tear down tables. You don't have to have a spiritual gift to pick up a broom. You don't have to have a spiritual gift to take the trash out. To mop the floor. Right. The church needs people to work. All Christians must be open to working both in and out of their gifting. Okay? Let me give a personal example. For my whole time in the Army, and then as I was serving the local church, I avoided children's ministries with a passion. I kept on telling myself, that's not your gifting. That your gifting is adult. Your gifting is adult. Your gifting is adult. I just kept telling myself that. Then when I became the pastor of the church, I realized, you know what? You can't do that. You can't keep avoiding these children. You have to set the example. So I forced myself to begin to go in there and teach four-year-olds. I forced myself to go in and teach eight-year-olds. I remember I volunteered my first year to teach Vacation Bible School 3 times a day. And I'll do it. I'll just make myself do it. My point is, you may have a talent, you don't even realize it, that you have a preconceived idea that's keeping you from working in that talent. And you need to be willing to move yourself into that. Now I volunteer to do chapel. I enjoy it. I love seeing their eagerness, man, and they're all sitting there. No, they're not like the adults going to sleep on you, and you know, they're there ready to learn. I enjoy it so much. And my point is that you've got to be willing to work both in and out of your gifting. I'll give me another example. Some of you are introverts. You're naturally introverts. You come into the sanctuary and you plop down on your chair, and this is what you do. You pull out your smartphone and you look like here. Now you got all these brothers and sisters in Christ around you, people you're supposed to be getting to know, and you've got this that you can look at anytime you want, and you're doing this, okay? You say, well, it's not my gifting to be out or extrovert, or it's not my gifting to be hospitable. Wrong. Time out. Wrong answer. You force yourself to get out of your comfort zone. Hi, I'm Sean Harris. You are? And you introduce yourself. You can answer this anytime you want. Don't use the precious few minutes that we have in the sanctuary of God to answer text messages. Now, you will see the pastors doing that, but we're always texting about something like, turn the volume up, turn the volume down, or somebody's here, or pray. It pertains to the immediate thing. I'm not going to sit here and answer the week's email during the time that I have to be with the body of Christ. I don't expect you to do the same thing. Get out of your comfort zone and turn around and meet somebody behind you, or in front of you, to the left of you, right of you. Reach out to somebody. Say, but that's not me. Make it you. Make it you. Aren't you glad that Christ got out of his comfort zone? What was Christ's comfort zone? Heaven. Heaven. That was his comfort zone. He left the glories of heaven to come be human. For who? For who? For us. Was he obligated to do that? No. No. So do the same, please. And then the other area that you've got to get in and out of your gifting is manual labor. Just do it. If there's a need, do it. I have no idea where this is. Does anyone?
Somewhere in Europe.
Somewhere in Europe.
It's not America.
Yeah, not America. But look at the stadium. It's incredible the number of people that are packed in there. Now here's the truth. We've got mega churches in America that are packing people in like that. Mm-hmm. And all they do is sit in a seat once a week. Yeah. That's not the body of Christ. That's not the body of Christ. Let's make sure we understand that. The body of Christ is nobody's in the stands, everybody's on a soccer field playing soccer. That's the body of Christ. This is not the body of Christ. Showing up, occupying a seat in the church once a week, being entertained, rah, 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 is like going to a soccer game. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is get out of the seat, get down on the field, figure out, am I defense, am I offense, do I do midfield, am I a water boy, and where am I in the team? How do I serve? What's my gifting? Am I a defensive coach, offensive coach, goalie coach? Where do I work in the body of Christ? Nobody in the stands. Nobody in the stands. Everybody on the field working. The fact of the matter is the church doesn't need anyone else sitting in the stands watching the game. This works out in our philosophy around here. For example, we have the Crimson Flood folks coming here today. As Jonathan and I were working through this, I made it clear to Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, make sure they understand that they're not coming here to give us a concert. We want to sing songs with them, but we don't want just to sit back and be entertained by them. We want them to lead us in worship so that they evoke within us more praise. And quite frankly, this morning at 8:30 service, we had some praise going on in there. It was pretty special. Because of their leadership and our participation. All right, let's get some answers to this question. Save money. True. Absolutely. No question about that.
Like when it comes down to the manual labor thing, if everybody said, well, somebody else will get around to it, then nothing would ever get done.
Not true. What else?
Save souls.
Save souls. Absolutely. Do you know that there are churches in Fayetteville that pay for people to come in and work their nurseries?
Oh. Wow.
Wow. Every penny. Now think about that. Every penny is a penny that could be spent somewhere else. How ridiculous. Set that aside. Just set that aside. Just set that aside. Think about who's ministering to your kids. Who's ministering to your kids when you're hiring people to come in? I want the people who sit under the preaching of this ministry and other preachers and Sunday school teachers to be the same ones that are with your children. You do, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't just want a background check. I don't want people in there that haven't been through a membership class and have been taught and encouraged. Do you? Think about that. So you're exactly right. This is the discipleship aspect of it. What else? Why does the local church need the time and talents of its members? What else?
It saves the leadership and those that are volunteering more from being burnt out.
Absolutely. Yep. The fact of the matter is, folks, I cannot come and pray with you for every surgery that you're going to have. I can't. Yeah, I can't. If you want sermons that are properly prepared, if you want me preaching in chapel, if you want me teaching children, then I cannot be the single person that comes and prays with you every single time. And here's the truth. Right now you're nodding your head, but when you're in the hospital, you're going to be offended. I don't know how that works, but it's the truth. It is. You know?
I think, too, in the body of Christ, when you have people going through different things, they can minister to people that have gone through things, they can minister to people who are going through. When you have cancer patients.
Yep. Absolutely.
Or a widow.
Right. Here's what I need to tell you, and this is what you've got to help me with. Please listen. If you want me to come pray with you, you got to tell me. Mm-hmm. And I'll be thrilled to do it. Okay? 2 Wednesdays ago, I went out to Fort Bragg at 10 o'clock at night and met with a church member in his office. Pastor, I need to talk to you. Okay, got it. I'll drop whatever, if you give me, I'll do it. But I'm just not going to make it my practice to be the single one that tries to pray with every single person that has surgery. But if you're going through anxiety and you really want me to come and pray with you, or you want me to come visit, then you got to tell me. Don't assume anything, folks. Don't assume. Jason.
I like to hear you say that, because we went through a situation where when our children were born, we even requested, hey, we don't want anybody to come. It's, you know, it's just kind of a family thing, and I don't want anyone seeing, but she didn't want anybody seeing her not fixed up in the hospital and that kind of thing. But we still had probably 7 or 8 people come and visit, even though we asked to be left alone. So I do appreciate something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will respect your wishes.
Actually, I feel the same way. That's the thing I want in the hospitals. When you're lying there, some gown in this icky bed, is to have a bunch of people show up, and you're trying to, great. You don't want a bunch of people there.
Yeah, and then there's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Which is, they determine that you don't love them because you did not come and visit them. And so it is impossible for them to know which kind of person you are. So you've got to communicate. You've got to say. Yeah. And I'll do it. I promise you, I'll do it. I was deployed for 6 months in my last deployment, and my pastor didn't write me a single letter, and I wrote him and wrote him and wrote him and wrote him and wrote him. So I know what it's like to be the parishioner that's not getting nothing. I was exasperated. So I'll write back. And please, if I don't write back, engage me a different way. Because it could be that the text message didn't go through. It could be that I got caught up in busyness. Call the church secretary and say, did Pastor Sean get my email? Or re-text me and say, did you get that text? And that'll clue me, oh man, I've neglected or something, okay? Because remember, my life's like your life. And I'm a parent just like you. You know, we were doing algebra Saturday morning in our house, and a church member called, and I knew I was short with them, and so I sent a text afterward and apologized, because I can't do algebra and not be angry. I mean, it's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, right. All right. So we're almost done. Time. This is a church survey gifting that you can look at to get another assessment. This concludes the session.